Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 6th, 155th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka's city manager, Greg Sparks. Nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be here, Brian.
Next time, GPS, baby.
You know, I put in KINS radio state, and that did not...
It didn't pull anything
it
up?
It did not. No results found. So.
Well, obviously, it's a defective piece of hardware you're dealing with then.
It must be.
Oh, boy. Well, spend a little bit of time talking about what the new budget year looks like, other than dry.
It's definitely pretty dry.
Yeah, yeah. That was a weather reference as well. A double entendre, is that what they call it?
Yes.
All right. Well, I've been staying way too close to schools lately, so we'll get back to normal words and normal talk when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. Quote, always use the proper name for things. Fear of the name increases fear of the thing itself.
And am I supposed to follow up with
no,
that?
No. Clarity's... way cool. And by the way, congratulations. You can't say happy D-Day, can you?
No, it's kind of not like a happy time, but it's certainly...
Or thank you, I guess, is the simplest way.
Yeah.
For D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little fun this morning. CBS had Richard C. Hollett from when he was back there as a 20-something covering for CBS. And then as a 96-year-old today.
Wow.
We did a nice little juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. He said, well, of course we were in the front. Oh, we were in our 20s. We knew we were immortal.
Yeah, unfortunately.
As the news guys. And I'm thinking, who?
That was a dangerous place to be. And
Yeah, even being in the back, I think, was a dangerous spot to be in today.
Getting off the boat was dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know, hats off, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which kind of tweaked me. Since we're going to have a rambling show.
Anyway. It sounds like it.
The election turnout Tuesday.
Yes.
The Eureka precincts, 27-28%, something in that neighborhood.
I think that's right. You know, low voter turnout, but you know, not uncommon when it's, you know, not at a general election time. But on the other end, you'd think with all the yard signs, the campaigning, the door-to-door, the hoopla, that might have generated a larger turnout?
I would have thought in the fourth and fifth it would have been a little bit higher than that. Mm-hmm. But it just was kind of interesting. Do you know of any ways or any efforts that do really generate a get-out-the-vote effort?
But, you know, I worked in local government in Minnesota for 19 years, and Minnesota typically... led the nation in voter turnout. But I'm thinking in general elections, there are years with close to 90% voter turnout. Just pretty...
Really?
Oh, unbelievable numbers.
90% of registered or 90%
90% of... 90% of registered. But at the same time, they had a high voter registration. You know, I think it begins with first, obviously, having a good educational campaign to get young people registered to vote. Sometimes I think it has to do with just kind of the culture of an area, though, too. I mean,
that's right, the expectations.
Because because it's hard for me to look at that and say, well, what was done differently there versus here? I was in Minnesota when we had the three-way election for governor, and Jesse Ventura was elected governor with about 33% of the vote in a close three-way race, maybe 34%. But I think they had pretty high voter turnout, but neither the Republicans or Democrats in that election, quite frankly, they didn't have a candidate that could electrify their base and allowed a third-party guy, basically a party of one,
right.
the Jesse Ventura party, get elected governor. So with kind of a strange appeal.
Yeah, it's intriguing for me. I tend to be a little draconian around some things. If you vote, you get to vote again. If you don't vote, you have to step aside for a year. You cannot vote. You've lost your right.
Let's see. I think the Women League of Voters probably don't have you on their committee or something.
No, that's all right. But, you know, because you see what it's taken to get us to the point of being able to vote. And then folks who are too lazy, oh, the absentee, it's on the coffee table. Nah. Okay. Couple guys have told me that one of the big pushes was to offer stamps because people were too lazy to go down to the post office and get a stamp. I mean, I'll say stupid little piddly things like that are why people aren't voting. It's like if you don't feel enough compulsion to go and vote, okay, we'll make it so you don't have to worry about voting.
They've really made it much easier in recent years with absentee voting. There's states that, you know, they've experimented with more of an internet voting, and I'm not sure what those results have been.
Well, Oregon's got the motor voter thing. You had 6 weeks to vote.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to impact the overall turnout any. Mm-hmm. Was it Mark Lovelace was in a couple days ago, and he said L.A. County, 13% voted.
Well, that's pretty dismal. And
it's embarrassing.
Particularly in an area that's, in need of some political reform.
Okay, well, you've been here, 6 weeks, and you already know a little bit of the lay of the land. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the budget, what this upcoming year looks like. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, Eureka City Manager. Greg, was there anything in the elections, either in our area, regionally, or nationally, that kind of got your attention and you went, gee, or wow, wasn't that cool?
You know, for the most, believe it or not, I'm one of those kind of city managers that tries to stay out of the politics as much as possible. I'm very nonpartisan. I had somebody ask me if I was going to go to one of the election parties, and I said, no, I stay away from election parties. You know, it's hard to get a read on an election like this since it's kind of up here. I mean, it's, you know, there wasn't any national, since the national election's going on. So, I don't know what to take away from other than, as we talked about, the voter turnout. Some people certainly, you know, from talking to a few people with this, like in the district attorney election with four that, you know, really expecting that there would be a runoff. And Maggie Fleming, you know, won that pretty handily. So, I mean, it's, you know, I'm still, I've met some of these people at this point, but I haven't met all of them. But certainly it's an important position in the county. And from a law enforcement standpoint, it's just critical for us to have someone in the district attorney's office that, you know, that we can forge a good working relationship with.
Now, the upcoming election in the fall, certainly the city has got a number of individuals.
Yes.
But you've also got Measure O.
Yes.
And I'm hearing maybe some school bonds are going to be on there, and the county's talking about some kind of a premium tax for law enforcement and roads and some of the basic things. Does the city hedge? Are you looking ahead at all going, you know, we got this coming up. Obviously, you have to make some allowances for the costs. Well, okay. But do you look at that? I mean, this budget has got to have the, yeah, it passed, or no, it didn't pass option in there somewhere with Measure O.
And here's the one thing that gives us just a little bit of time to deal with, and it's not a lot, but the Measure O supplemental use and transaction tax, it sunsets June 30th, 2016. We have to do the election this November because it has to, you know, otherwise when we go to election in November 2016, it would have already expired. So we'll have, in a sense, that year, or, you know, additionally to plan for that if it was not to be successful. But I can just tell you, as, you know, someone, you know, who came in new and departments had wrapped up most of their budget work and had submitted their proposed budgets to the finance department, kind of my first, you know, two weeks on the job was meeting with departments, going over their budgets, and we had to do some additional reductions. I mean, we did not have enough revenues to meet our proposed expenditures from the proposed budgets. We've since have balanced that, and when we start having our first budget work session with City Council next week, we've certainly have delivered Council a balanced budget, but it's a budget that has very little flexibility in it. Very little reserves.
Is that because retail sales tax in the city hasn't hit what everybody was hoping? Or is this a hedge against what might be and you don't want to go crazy until you know what's going on?
Well, right, we certainly won't go crazy. You know, the revenues are just pretty stable. I mean, they came back a little bit, you know, the last couple of years, but they aren't really growing at this point. I would say both the occupancy tax, the various sales taxes, they're just on kind of this, kind of a pretty flat. And at the same time, you know, we continue to have those rising costs and health insurance.
So with Walmart coming into Eureka, it just kind of counterbalanced what was going down? Because they've only been here for, what, a year and a half maybe open?
Yeah, you know, and maybe as we get a little more history with that, we'll have some better numbers, but certainly from what we've projected so far, we just think it's fairly flat. So
I wouldn't imagine you're looking at any significant changes then either for the next couple of years.
No, that's absolutely correct. We need that supplemental use transaction tax just to maintain kind of basic city services. And quite, you know, I think we're just going to have to look at some additional revenue at some point, or some other type of changes to try to, so that we can put some more money into infrastructure improvements. We aren't putting enough money into street overlays and some of the other general maintenance things that we need to be doing.
Jobs will help a whole lot.
jobs are always good.
particularly, Greg, when you look at what the economic climate is in the area, what it has been in the area, the hits that we've taken due to regulations and the soft economy and everything else, being the economic center of the region, okay, it's fine and dandy, but when nothing's going on, is that a priority? Are you going to be able to do some of that outreach and get in front of it a little bit? I mean, that would be a nice thing to be able to have come to fruition.
It would be. I wish I could say yes, I'd like to be in front of it, but I feel like we're already behind on it, so it's a matter maybe of trying to do a bit of catch up. You know, one of the things with the general plan update is the economic development aspect of that, and you know, we've put together some study process and some people in place, and we'll visit more about that.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, Eureka City Manager. Greg, before the break, you were talking a little bit about economic development or the beginning the wheels churning a little bit in that direction. A lot of times when we hear economic development, and I really despise the phrase, think outside the box, implying that you don't have the tools today in the box to be able to get the job done. It's got to be that expert coming into town, or it's got to be that new piece of hardware, or we have to do, instead of dealing with what is, we're always chasing this what we want to have. So as you're looking at economic development, what are you looking at? What direction are you wanting to kind of see that this thing takes?
It's really going to be a community-based economic development program. You're kind of almost talking about I think in the Midwest we might have called it smokestack envy or something. You can have a lot of communities chasing after those, you know, the Saturn plant when you remember, you know, those years ago. But you know, you can spend a lot of resources chasing bad projects. So I think we even talked a little bit about the last time I was on the show about, in terms of, you know, How do we build upon the strengths that are here?
What are the strengths?
Well, you have a marina, you've got a harbor, you've got a bay. There's certainly things that both the harbor district's looking to do, which I think could have a positive impact. I've had a chance to, we're working on a cold storage facility. We have that grant application into EDA, we should be hearing back on that shortly for the feasibility study, in terms of then kind of pulling together potential people who'd be involved in such a project. And everything I hear from like Fishermen's Association, that, you know, that's an important piece of a small part of the economic development pie I shouldn't say small. I mean, that's a pretty important piece. You know, growing the tourism base. There's a number of ideas out there. From our council, we had a presentation by Councilmember Albin on cruise ships. There's certainly some potential there. Looking at somewhat the model from Astoria, Oregon. Some of these things take a lot of time.
Attracting another airline is proving that, isn't it?
Right, and there's certainly been some things worked on to help attract that second airline in. That looks like they may come together. We'll know more in the next few weeks. But
into that line, huh? Okay.
You've been around this a while. I can tell you from
we're really close, Greg. Really close. Really? So stay tuned. We're close.
You know, when I worked in a ski resort community in Colorado, we did have the Telluride area. We had what was called the Telluride Montrose Regional Air Organization. I think I'm remembering all those letters correctly. And we definitely recognized in our resort environment there that our customer was not the Denver day skier. We were way too far away for that. So having good airline service was incredibly important, just as it was for Aspen and a few of the other places. So we had a program where the subsidy came through both an occupancy tax and a restaurant tax, what do we call that, the kind of the food and drink tax that helped fund that. So I saw the benefit of having that kind of a program to support air service into a small area. So I know that that can be beneficial here as well. I haven't been involved in discussions. I know I will be before too long. I know Councilmember Newman has been representing the city on that, and I've met with Mike a couple of times about that.
You'll be drugging, don't worry.
Yes. And
So are you looking at small incremental from a bunch of the different niches, or do you sense that there might be an opportunity to get relocations and folks in the state of California deciding to come into Eureka for their business or Eureka for their expansion rather than some of the startups or some of the other options that are available?
You know, you really have to look at, you know, do we have the right kind of assets to pull off a relocation? Everything I read over the years, you know, you saw the businesses that were leaving California because of tax structure, environmental regulations, and California was kind of, unfortunately, kind of a great exporter of jobs for a number of years. And I haven't seen the recent numbers to see if that has changed at all or if that's finally slowed down. I mean, I guess the good news is the state economy has improved, the state budget has improved from where it had been. So hopefully we can start seeing some more progress statewide in terms of growing jobs. You know, the loss of the redevelopment agencies, I mean, I'm sure, you know, cities, we maybe play that tune quite a bit. But having worked in other cities where we had tax increment finance, and it was a very useful tool for both either helping a business to get started, particularly like an expansion, or the relocations, that's just a very important piece of that economic development toolbox.
I mean, it works.
It's one of the biggest pieces. You know, my last job, we worked with Microsoft on siting data center. And a lot of people can say, well, data center, they don't produce very many jobs. They don't, but the jobs they do produce are pretty good, but the tax base from them is incredible. I mean, you're talking about, you know, they'll make a $1 billion investment in terms of land, equipment, building. A lot of it's equipment that isn't taxable, but we still end up with, in our several-phase project on that data center, with about $200 million in taxable value. So, I mean, that's pretty important.
In investing monies in your area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have,
it's important.
And when it's a company like Microsoft, that makes other companies pay attention as well, because if Microsoft thinks you're a good place to locate. So I don't want to dwell on, well, what worked somewhere else, because that doesn't necessarily mean that works here. But
it's nice to be able to pay attention to history and to network.
Yes.
Instead of trying to create the wheel every time.
That's absolutely right.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, the city manager for Eureka. Greg, what does this budget year look like? You said that you'd had from the department heads your own little revise in May.
Yeah, we yeah. Kind of did our revise.
Not just, quite like yeah. The governor does his May revise, but a little. Were they expecting revenues to be a little bit too high? Is it deferred maintenance that's now coming to a head? Needing to have new additional staff to be able to do the job because of additional regulations and that kind of stuff? Where was that initial disconnect?
I think there are probably a few things that continue to drive cost. It's health insurance rates continue to increase, pension costs. You know, we brought in some additional employees because with Measure O, you know, in police and fire, and some of those costs can increase faster than, say, the revenue stream. But I don't want to make sense like, you know, well, it's this fault or that. It's more of those kind of combination of things as well as some of the deferred maintenance areas. So it's costs that continue to go up even when the revenues are staying pretty flat. So, you know, we made some tough decisions departmental-wise to try to squeeze that budget down. At the same time, certainly the goal is to make sure from a resident standpoint, we're still trying to deliver the best value we can for the dollar. We didn't treat it as one of those exercises of, well, let's cut this because then people really notice that and then they'll complain to the there wasn't any of that kind of attitude. And
do you sense that there's a belief that the value isn't there
from the resident?
Yeah, I don't hear that. Now, I may be traveling in different circles, but my sense is that there's still an expectation of too much Big Brother and not enough do it on your own. Look at gutters.
Yeah, gutters are a great example.
Batty.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're a renter or not. I mean, there's basic common sense here.
Yeah.
Do you have any pride in what you're doing?
Yeah.
Take the thing out and hoe and clean the gutter once a month. Gee, money.
We're waiting
for somebody else to do it, like the city government.
I tell you, I was walking on a street the other day, not so far from where I live, and I swear it was a bush growing out of the gutter that looked like it had been there for 5 years. So I just don't know how you leave something like that there. But either we need to do a better job of kind of educating citizens that this would be helpful to clean this up. Because, on a property-by-property basis, it's not a big deal. But if you want us to send in city crews, a couple of employees with weed trimmers and all that, then, it gets to be...
It'll be back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you always have to stay on top of it.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of things that I think that drive me a little batty, and I don't know if there's a way to incentivize residents to do the right thing, because it puts a weird feeling on the city when you're driving through neighborhoods, and that's what they're all like. Do you want to stop or walk through those neighborhoods? Probably not. It's an indication of something going on. That's not a comfortable neighborhood.
Well, and you hate to overgeneralize, but one thing in the city of Eureka, maybe you're used to overgeneralizing.
Gives me something to talk about.
Is we have a low percentage of owner occupied housing, and I think that obviously impacts those types of general maintenance.
As you're looking at some of the different choices, whether it's measures this fall or the high user tax thingy like Arcata has got, are those ways to kind of start nibbling around the edges of those things? Or do you just say, it's a cultural thing and we just got to get more owners living in Eureka?
I think some of it is, I don't know if the various measures attack that too much. Maybe they can nibble at the edge a bit. One of the things is, as I've talked with our planning staff and our consultant on, as we're doing the general plan update and the housing portion, is certainly my goal is that out of the housing plan and any land use decisions we're making is, what are we doing that helps us to strengthen neighborhoods? What helps maintain the integrity of a neighborhood? And I get probably a little bit concerned about a program that makes it easier to have the secondary units in residential neighborhoods.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing lots of fun stuff about this kind of thing down the road. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.